This is Radio Equal Shock with your host, Alex Smith.
This recording is one of a series made by Alex Smith of Radio Equal Shock on October 19th, 2012, at the press conference organized by the Haida Salmon Restoration Corporation at the Vancouver Aquarium. In this segment, Vancouver maritime lawyer James L. Strath talks to the press about the legalities of the ocean experiment by the Haida village of Old Masset.
Speaker is James L. Strath of Strath Litigation Chambers and a colleague of mine in West Vancouver. Jay.
Good morning. Just want to give you a very brief legal overview of the issue that has come up the last week or so. Basically, a lot of the journalism out there has kept using the term ocean dumping or ocean disposal. And you have to understand what we are operating under is Section 122 of the Canadian Environmental Protection Act, in particular subsection I. That legislation is the Canadian embodiment of the agreements of our government to what is called the London Convention, which came along in the 1970s to stop them from dumping nerve gas and other pollutants into the ocean. Under this section of the Canadian Environmental Protection Act, it says that disposal, in this case ocean disposal, does not include the placement of a substance in the marine environment for purposes other than mere disposal. What we have been doing is scientific research in regard to this, and if you go on the internet, you can see that the groups like the International Maritime Organization have set out guidelines about what they want you to cover when you do scientific research in this area. Those guidelines have been generally adhered to and have been followed, and it's a very long document that I don't think I can cover in a press conference. But the letter and the spirit of those guidelines have been followed. When I first became involved in this project last summer, I made comment that this is very much similar to the experience that I had been involved in with artificial reefs. And some of your news organizations, if you go back 23 years ago when we first started doing experiments with artificial reefs in British Columbia to see what would happen and see how well it would work, there were people making all sorts of ridiculous claims about the dire consequences. Well, what we did is roughly the same thing that's going on here. We worked with a couple of smaller ships. We did a HMCS Chaudière some 20 years ago, studied it for a number of years, to understand what we had done right, what we had done wrong, and what we could do better, and then worked with government agencies to come up with a set of guidelines. And those guidelines became the Canadian Environmental Protection Act guidelines for use of ships. We've done this now in Quebec, Nova Scotia, and the waters of British Columbia. Then what happened is those guidelines started to be reviewed internationally. We've been involved in projects in Australia, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, and in fact, next weekend, the first of four ships is being sunk by associates of mine in the southern part of Portugal following International Maritime Organization guidelines. But this is all based on accumulated science and research that had built up over some 15, 20 years before they became formalized. We expect what is going to happen here is roughly the same. One of the guidelines that the International Maritime Organization has is that it can't be done for direct commercial purposes. Well, one of the things here is we don't consider an experiment to see if you can restore your salmon up in the Old Masset and on the North Coast to healthy levels to be anything but a scientific experiment. And I think if you ask some of the people here today about exactly what has been done, how it's being documented, you'll see that what you're getting out of this is science. Another point is, for example, in a couple of weeks, the Artificial Reef Society of British Columbia is sinking a 2,900-ton destroyer, but there is no longer an ocean disposal permit required for that, simply because the government has moved on and they recognize that this is primarily a fisheries issue, and the only agency that really has to look at this is the Fisheries Department, provided these environmental guidelines have been followed, and they obtained the professional opinion of an engineer to confirm that those guidelines have, in fact, been followed. It's much the same thing. Well, that's 2,900 tons. This is 100 tons. So we're talking about an experiment 1/29th the size of what something else that you don't even require a permit for. If this ever gets to a commercial level, I would anticipate it would be many times more than 100 tons. But what we're doing now is studying the data that was obtained last summer and asking the questions, okay, if you do this, how should you do it? Do you do it as groups of 100 tons? Do you do it as groups of 50 tons? Or do you need more? How do you do it? That's what science is all about. Going out there, doing experiments, studying the results very intensely, and then looking at the long-term answers. As I've said to the chief and to John, ultimately, as far as the people of Old Masset are concerned, there's only one jury that will decide whether or not this experiment is a success or not. And that jury is out right now in the North Pacific, and it's going to constitute millions of salmon, and they'll render their verdict in the summer of 2014, because what this is really aimed at is to see if we can do something to start turning around the decline of the salmon stocks. When the Cohen Commission comes down, we expect the Cohen Commission is going to make note of a number of problems that are facing salmon on the West Coast. We think what we are doing is addressing one of the myriad of problems the salmon have. But we are in a situation on this planet where things have deteriorated so much that now you have to start looking at things like this. And I was noting the other day that there is a working group at Oxford University in regard to concerns about geoengineering. And when you're talking about geoengineering, if you're this is an experiment that has implications in regard to geoengineering, but this is miles short of geoengineering, because geoengineering would make a very long-term permanent change. This is something that, if it works, it's going to have to be repeated probably on an annual basis, save and except the occasional interruption by the convenience of an Alaskan volcano. But generally speaking, this is something where the questions are being asked, being studied, and there will be results that will produce papers that will be subject to peer review. When you get to the question of carbon credits, which seems to be something that has caused a lot of buzz in the media, when you get to the question of carbon credits, you have to understand that we have to assemble all the data, and then that would have to be studied and approved by an independent certification agency. These agencies and this protocol was all set up after the Kyoto Accord. Canadian government hasn't no longer is a signatory to the Kyoto Accord, but I'm sure we can work through that that issue. But it has to be confirmed independently. So it's not just going to be us saying this, but they have to look at our methodology. They have to look at the results of that methodology and the analysis of the data and confirm it independently. So we've made sure that when this was put together, that what we expect to be what is being looked for by these third parties has been addressed. But if you can go on the IMO website, you will see that there's been a number of discussions about this. Generally speaking, there are scientific guidelines. The problem is we're virtually in the same situation we were in the early days with artificial reefs, that this is a new activity. We know generally what the law is under the Environmental Protection Act, but it really wasn't designed with this kind of thing in mind. This is a 1992 statute that has been last revised in 1999, and what we're doing was just not on the horizon. And that's all right. We'll work within the letter and spirit of the law and come up with something that I think once government and once the public is aware of what has been studied, how it's been studied, and the results. I think a lot of this, what we have seen this past week, will settle down, and we'll start dealing with facts and talking about the long-term implications of those facts. Thank you.
That was Vancouver Maritime lawyer James L. Strath talking to the press about the legalities of the ocean experiment by the Haida village of Old Masset. You can also download the recorded opening statements by Village of Old Masset Chief Ken Ray and the president of the Haida Salmon Restoration Corporation, John Disney, plus the question and answer period with the press as separate files from my October 23rd show blog at ecoshock.info. Some transcripts are also available there, plus my one-hour Radio EcoShock feature on geoengineering the ocean.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.